This is a special General Conference edition of A Woman's View. Join us as we look at issues of faith and community this Conference Sunday with our host, Amanda Dixon, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to a very special edition of A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio for this General Conference weekend. I have two wonderful guests with me. Joining me is the Church News Executive Editor, Sarah Jane Weaver, is here. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Amanda. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And your colleague and my former colleague, Mary Richards, who is also a reporter with Church News. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Amanda. Hi.
So good to see both of you and talk about your work and about your faith and how those two things work together and have such a wonderful sort of symbiosis. I'm thinking, Sarah, about the article that you wrote about what President Nelson said about forgiveness and health. In case some in our listening audience did not see that, that was just, I thought, a perfect example of where, you know, journalism and faith come together for such an important message. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
You know, President Russell M. Nelson is both a man of science and a man of faith. And that makes him uniquely positioned to speak to things like both forgiveness and health, and how it can actually be good for us to do these things that are spiritually based. In this case, we found that research actually supports that when you forgive other people, it's good for your heart. Now, I am sure President Nelson, a former pioneering heart surgeon, world-renowned, would care a lot about things that are good for the heart. But in this case, it's also good for our souls. And so when you think about that in terms of this weekend, when we have leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints speaking to us, they're giving us advice from both the perspective of faith and science. And I think that's a really beautiful combination.
Oh, I love that. So well said. And I feel that in my own life, as I'm sure you do, Mary, that when we forgive, we are unburdened in a way that can change, you know, the beat of your heart and the feeling of your nervous system. I've had that experience. Mary, you've been covering so many wonderful things too. I'm thinking specifically about the most recent stories you've done on the fires in Maui and how the people are doing there. Can you share with us what you've been covering?
For sure. So in the Church News podcast and the KSL News Radio conference special that many listeners have heard from Maui, I have those voices of those people affected who lost everything, who lost their homes. And speaking of this idea of how your spirituality affects your physical life, every part of your life, as they have given each other emotional support and relief and worked to serve each other, they've found their own troubles easing, if that makes sense. As they Yes. give and receive relief, then they are comforted, really. And so there have been some beautiful stories coming since my trip to Maui as well. Just this past weekend, the Relief Society and Young Women General Presidents of the Worldwide Church traveled to do some ministry in Maui with the youth and with the women in particular who have been suffering, and just giving and receiving comfort together was a really beautiful weekend.
Oh, I can only imagine. And you're so right about that, Mary, that in comforting each other, we are comforted. It has that strange effect, strange and wonderful. I want to talk about another article I read of yours recently, Sarah, if it's all right. And this one was about how being together in person matters, how coming to church and being together in person, seeing each other, having a chance to hug or give a word of encouragement, that in this day and age when we do everything remotely, including this interview, we need to remind ourselves that it's important to be physically together. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, isn't it beautiful when we think about how technology helps connect us, right? It connects us to people who live far away. We're an instant. We're always accessible. And yet it also can isolate us. It can make us feel somehow distant. We can go a whole day and talk to people and yet never see a person. And you know, I think a lot of us felt that during the pandemic, where we were working from home and we were sort of stuck in our houses. And so there is strength in gathering. There is great opportunity to connect in gathering. We can see things in person that we may not pick up on when we're over technology. Maybe the way someone's holding their shoulders, or maybe the way they're walking, or maybe where they're sitting. And that's how we can connect to people. That's how we can discover what people maybe need. And I think it's interesting that the weekend before the church's huge general conference, two women leaders traveled all the way to Hawaii to be on the ground for 2 days so that they could physically touch and hug and minister to people in a way that you can't do over technology.
Yes, yes. So brilliant. I imagine that speaks to you too, Mary. There's just something about being physically present. That's why you went to Maui.
It's true, to be able to really hear and be a part of those stories. And I think that's why the Church News travels and so much to cover these stories around the world. Is there's something so powerful about being present with church members, with community members, with leaders around the world in their space, learning more about them and all about, you know, their life circumstances. We do a great job, I would say, covering as well remotely because of just the worldwide church and being able to do things through email and phone and things like that. But our ministry assignments with general church leaders really, I do think, bring some of that more in-person power to the writing.
And you've covered so much, Mary, about service, which is a topic dear to my heart, the healing power of service for the one who serves in addition to those who are served. And was it Texas that I read that you went to Texas or did a story about the people in Texas who were serving each other?
Oh, yeah. That was another. I was grateful for the opportunity to do that story from home, but it would have been so powerful to be there in person. That service, exactly right. Speaking of research-based details, the research has shown that when we serve others physically through, you know, projects or through ministering or all those different ways, and the same thing in Texas, they gathered hundreds of backpacks for people in need and wrote notes of encouragement for others who would then come across these donations. And that was a beautiful story. And those stories just lift me so much when I write them.
And me too, and everyone who reads, both of you in Church News. This very special edition of A Woman's View for Conference Weekend, I am joined by Church News Executive Editor Sarah Jane Weaver and reporter Mary Richards. We'll take a brief break and be back here on KSL News Radio. Welcome back to A Woman's View on KSL News Radio, a very special edition on this conference weekend. I am joined by the executive editor of Church News, Sarah Jane Weaver, and reporter Mary Richards with Church News, who was my longtime colleague here at KSL News Radio. May I ask you a little bit about how you experience inspiration in your work? Is it something where you will get a feeling, I should cover this story, I should ask this question, I should talk to this person, I should go to the, what does that look like in your work, Sarah?
Well, it is a great blessing to me to be able to take my faith and my beliefs to the workplace and to be able to write about something that I care very deeply about. And so I do make my work a spiritual endeavor, and I pray about it every day, and I hope that what I'm doing meets the expectation of God and others who also share my faith. And that's a journey that you go on and you think, okay, how do I do this? What's the best way to do this? And then there is a lot of praying and pondering about it. Usually whenever I write a difficult article, I pray over it first and call on heavenly help to say the things I want to say and to communicate them in a way that other people will be able to understand them.
Oh my gosh. And what you said there at the beginning touched me too, Sarah, that you said you feel grateful that you can bring your faith to your work. I am sure there are people listening now who at least don't feel like they can do that. They may, in fact, not be able to do that, but they certainly feel like they have to keep those two separate. And that must be difficult, if not impossible, for people, because your faith is such a huge part of who you are. You can't not bring it to work. It's who you are.
Yeah, I think there's some really fascinating discussions about religious liberty and taking your faith to the public square. There's many people who say, believe what you want and believe it in your own homes. And there's a group of people who are saying, in a truly free society, we should be able to take our whole self into the public square. And that should be a true representation of who we are and our freedom to communicate the things that are important to us. You know, it's been about a year, but we had Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik on the Church News podcast. He's a Jewish leader out of New York City, and he said something that I thought was so beautiful. He said, the soul of man is a candle to God. And so if we cannot show what is in our very soul as a light to other people, then as a society, we really have lost something.
Yes. Mary, speak to me about crossover between inspiration and your work.
Well, and I would think, too, that God cares about all his children in any workplace, in anything that they're doing. I feel like prayer has always been a part of my life. When I was working and reporting and anchoring and producing at KSL Radio, I would often have a prayer in my heart. Help me throughout this day. Help me in my assignments. Help my coworkers. This is a hard story, or this is a very challenging thing that we're all going through right now. Can you please bless us through this? And that would always be kind of quietly in my heart. Now at Church News, we open our staff meetings with prayer. We are inviting that spirit with us to bless all of us in our work. And there's a power in praying out loud for your coworkers and their families and knowing what they're working on or as they're traveling. And before my first trip with Church News, Sarah gave me some great advice about listening for those promptings. So you can kind of get a little overwhelmed, like, which direction do I go here? Who do I talk to? What's the first thing I need to focus on? And those kind of step-by-step, bite-sized pieces of, okay, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do this. And then if you get that feeling, follow that, see what happens with that. And that's just blessed my life in so many ways.
That is so beautiful. And I loved what you said about the power of praying out loud for your coworkers to show your heart and your genuine concern for their well-being, for their families, for their spiritual well-being. What could make a team more together than that?
And, you know, Amanda, several years ago, I was covering the ministry of President Russell M. Nelson, and we were on a tour through the Pacific. And there was a group of us on the media team that were unpacking our equipment in a green room before a devotional that President Nelson was to speak at. And the devotional was held in New Zealand. And he came in the room and he called everyone by name, which was a very sweet experience for us, that he knew the people that were writing about his ministry by name. And then he said something that still awes me to this day. He said, "This morning I prayed for each of you by name." Now, he knew who we were, and he actually prayed for our efforts, and then we wanted to do so much better because of that. We would follow him anywhere because he was aware of us, because he cared about us, because he was aware of the work we were doing. So I think that there is just so much power in offering a prayer on behalf of someone else. I've felt that power in my personal life.
I cannot imagine, Sarah, having President Nelson say, "I prayed for you by name." I think that would be enough inspiration for a lifetime.
It stayed with me several years later.
And it still is, yes, yeah. Obviously. So you both talked about the importance of prayer. That is very much connected, I would imagine, to the importance of your scripture reading or study, these other things that are sort of private things that you also would look to for inspiration. Mary, is that true?
Oh, I would agree. And it was interesting, too, when I joined Church News, how one of the staff members told me, you know, now you're immersed in this world of and language of devotionals and devotion and scripture and all that stuff. And so it's become more even a part of you. But don't forget to still have that private study as well in your own life, which is so crucial to a testimony. And so it's like, don't just think, oh, I checked that off because I went to cover this beautiful devotional or this weekend at General Conference. I've spoken about this before and I've written about it before, that idea of listening with spiritual ears and news ears. So as our staff covers General Conference and we're writing summaries for thechurchnews.com for every single talk and all of those things, we're listening and summarizing and being journalists, but also needing to step back and think personally, what's my message I'm getting to strengthen my own testimony and deepen my conversion myself, and really take the steps to be able to be in the scriptures every day myself. That's just key for anyone. If you are hoping to keep your foundation, sure, is it's not a checklist, but it's a beautiful way to continue, deepening conversion.
My guest this week on a special edition of A Woman's View, Sarah Jane Weaver and Mary Richards from Church News, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Listening to a special General Conference edition of A Woman's View. Join Amanda back here Monday morning for important news you depend on and trust. KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to a special edition of A Woman's View on this conference weekend. The executive editor of Church News, Sarah Jane Weaver, is with me, along with reporter from Church News, Mary Richards. Do you ever think, Sarah, of your work as a calling?
Well, I think that all of us feel like I think all of us should hope that what we do each day is a calling. I think that everyone, regardless of what they do for their job or whether they do that inside their home or outside their home or inside their community or across the globe, should have figured out, what is my role? What does the Lord want me to accomplish today? And how am I going to do that? And so I do feel very grateful for the opportunity to write about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I did not start my career with plans to do that. I started my career and entered journalism school with the hopes to talk about politics. And I still am a political junkie. I love politics. I love sports. And somehow I have spent almost 3 decades now writing about faith. And it's because there was a hinge point in my life where I had the opportunity to come to Church News, and I knew it was what my Heavenly Father wanted me to do. And once you receive that sort of witness, it's really hard to do something else. And I think most women would tell you that they had the same sort of experience with their life. I knew this was what I was supposed to do. I knew this was where I was supposed to put my efforts. And sometimes we all face challenges where we think, do I keep doing this? Is it time to shift? And luckily, the things we've been talking about today are the very tools that allow us to make that decision. Where we can pray, we can study scriptures, we can look to the leaders of whatever faith we adhere to and say, what should I do today and what would this look like?
Oh, beautiful. What about for you, Mary? Does this feel like a calling to you?
You know, I've always kind of tried in my life to know where I should be. And I believe that's because I did make a covenant with God to use my time and talents in a way to help him in whatever place that would be. And I believe he's interested in me. I believe he's interested in everybody, in doing the best they can in wherever they are. And he wants to help them. And isn't that just a beautiful thing? And so I do feel I was led to Church News, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful for my time at KSL as well.
Yes,
and
we are too, Mary.
So I would say to anyone listening, you know, kind of look at that in your life and in where you should be. And I have the most beautiful examples of friends and sisters and sisters-in-law who their life looks different than mine, and mine isn't better than theirs. And our work schedules or even the amount of time that we have to spend in the classroom or at home with our children, making some beautiful places of life in our homes. All that balance looks different for every woman. And I would hope no one would be thinking, oh, well, they have it all together. They're this or that, you know, there's just a balance. And as we stay close to our Heavenly Father, we can find out what He needs us to do and when and where.
And when, yeah, there are different times in life, it seems to me. I mean, I just recently started teaching again, and I stopped years ago because my boys were at an age where they needed to see me more often, but now they don't need me. Well, they need me less.
They need me in a different way.
They need me in a different way.
Probably more at 10 o'clock with snacks.
That's right. May I go back to something you said, Sarah? You talked about how your original goal or dream was to cover politics. When you see how, I think the right word is painful, so much of what's happening politically in this country is, how does your spiritual sense and your faith, how does it help you understand those difficult things that are happening politically in the country?
Aren't these tenuous times? They're just times where it gives me grief and stress and all kinds of things when I look at the polarization of politics in this nation and, for that matter, across the globe. And there are things that I think can be a unifier. And one of those things is faith. You think about the power of faith. Former federal court judge Tom Griffith did a Church News interview, and he talked about how there is great power in bridge building, that people who have gathered together, people who worship together, people who have a like belief in God or Jesus Christ, even though they may come from economic differences or don't share political ideologies or may have cultural differences, those people are best suited to be bridge builders because they understand that you can be accountable to something greater than politics, and that that can connect you, and that differences are okay. Actually, differences strengthen society. They deepen our understanding and our conversations. And so I think people of faith are uniquely suited to actually bridge the divides in politics in this nation.
Beautiful. Mary, how would you, do you see that, the difficulty in political arenas with your faith?
Yeah, I actually had a nice chat with a mental health counselor one year after just being so much immersed
well done.
In everything.
Well done. And I mean, I've heard about PTSD for reporters who go to crime scenes and cover difficult stories, political and otherwise. So yes, well done.
I mean, it was so helpful for me. And it was just the quickest chat that helped me reset. And I had some tools that I knew I could remember. One is I have a circle of control. I could control what's in that circle. I can't control all this other stuff out here that's going on that can what's causing me so much stress and anxiety in different ways for different political cycles. And so just remembering, okay, what can I do in my sphere for myself, for my family, for my children, for my school as I, you know, try to be involved in my neighborhood school, you know, in my, you know, all those ways as you kind of think. Because if you start to think about everything outside of your circle, I would just worry so much. And I remember thinking, okay, bring it back to the circle.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Mary. That is so helpful. And that is sort of the way I look at it, too. Like some days I'll go home from covering news that is so that my heart is breaking.
Yes.
And then I realize I can only send love in my thoughts and prayers, and I can love the people in my circle. I've never used those words before, but now I will.
I'm going to use that too. Bring it back to my circle. It's going to be a new adage for me.
Let me take one more quick break and I'll be back with my wonderful guest on this special edition of A Woman's View. Back in a moment. Welcome back to A Woman's View here on this very special Sunday for General Conference. I have the executive editor of Church News with me, Sarah Jane Weaver, and reporter with Church News, Mary Richards. We've been talking about faith and work. So here's my next question. Has work ever been hard in some way that's challenged your faith? Has that ever happened? I have heard of and talked with people before who have said, I covered a tragedy so profound, I thought, how could this happen in a God-loving world? Things like that. Has that ever happened to you, Mary?
Well, touching on what you just said, Elder Mark A. Bragg, who is a General Authority 70 and president of the church's North America Northwest area, was in Maui ministering to the saints when I was there for that 5-day period. And he talked about that very thing. Through this tragedy, some may ask, where is God in all of this? How could God, who knows everything, you know, how could he let this happen? And those, I don't want to disparage anyone who has those thoughts, but he spoke to the beauty of an eternal, loving Heavenly Father who knows all, who has a plan, who knows that we're here in this mortality where things do happen. And so there's something to be said for remembering that overall viewpoint of that bigger picture than yourself, and that can help bring it back when those times do kind of seem rough. There's a story I'm working on about the power of prayer. There's research showing when people leave a faith tradition, oftentimes it might be because of that feeling of separation from God or anger at God or sadness over something. But when they begin to pray again, when they begin to reconnect with God, then they feel his love for them. And then they return to church. They return to their faith tradition because they've connected again. So I would say always stay connected with heaven, and it helps through those times.
Oh, beautiful. Sarah, what about you? Have you experienced this in any way?
Well, I think the life of a reporter, which all three of us have experienced, can be very, very hard and overwhelming. I covered and was on site for horrible tsunamis in Southeast Asia and Japan in my career. I went to the Philippines, to Tacloban, after a typhoon took many lives. And I have often relied on some advice that we all heard as children on Mr. Rogers, which was, you know, in times of crisis, he said his mother told him to look to the helpers. And I think when we start looking around for helpers, we see them everywhere. And I think we see those in faith, in government, in society. There are good people everywhere who are just trying to lift and strengthen and build other people. And the secret sauce is to learn how to see them, because in every crisis, they're there.
Oh, that's so beautiful. The phrase that popped into my mind just now was, I heard someone say this once, that when you think about trauma or a negative event, don't think of it in terms of that happened to me. Think of it as that happened for me. And that rephrasing helped me. But before the time is gone, I want to ask you about responses that you've received from readers or from listeners to the podcast. When they reach out to you, Sarah, what do they say?
You know, I am really, really lucky because the Church News podcast is directed to many people who are faithful, faithful followers of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They come to me, but it is not about me. The reason they come is because they believe in Jesus Christ, because they want to follow him through the church that brings them hope and peace and comfort. And so oftentimes I get to hear them share their feelings about The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or its leaders or its members or things that have helped them. And that is like the best job ever. Very few people, I wish, you know, after our show, maybe we could have a few people say, Sarah, you're great. Mostly that never, ever happens. People instead say, wow, wasn't that a great topic you discussed? Wasn't that an idea that I hadn't thought of before? Isn't the concept that we had an opportunity to listen to through the experts on your podcast, that strengthened my faith, or that gave me the tools I need to support my family? So the best news about my podcast is that it's not about Sarah Weaver.
That is powerful. And I also am a little jealous that people would respond to you based on the content. and not on the personality, because those two should be separated so more often. Mary, speak to this. What do you hear from people?
I hear a gratitude from people for sharing good things. I will meet people everywhere and they say, oh, I'm so grateful for the church news. I'm reading good news, good things about service or about how I can strengthen my faith or how I can help my neighbor. I got an idea from that about a lesson I could teach on Sunday. And so there's something so beautiful about connecting through good news, good experiences, and also finding the good in things that have happened. Like Sarah said, we've covered some awful tragedies and terrible things, but looking for those helpers, that's where I think we get a lot of feedback from people being so grateful.
Do you receive criticism from people, or is it all positive?
How much time do you have?
Oh, really?
No, just kidding.
Well, I guess it's true in every job. You can't get away from it.
It's true.
I would think that it would be of a different quality, that there would be, they know you're coming from a position of faith and an attempt to be helpful and healing. How do you criticize that? I don't understand.
Comparing to other times in my life, it's better.
Yeah, I will tell you this. Early in my career, when I first accepted a job in church news, I went to a journalism advisor and mentor that I'd had at BYU. And she said to me, I hope you have a testimony of your church because you're going to need it. And the inference was that the closer you get to something, the more you see the inner workings, the more things that you will find that are wrong with it. And I have to tell you, that has never been the case, not one day of my job. And I would hope that people would find that about any organization that they spend a lot of effort or choose to dedicate their life, that the closer it's inspected, you actually want to find that the better it looks. And that has been the case that I have found with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and with my opportunity to cover it through the Deseret News and through church news. And so there's always going to be critics, but I'm here to tell you that my career has looked pretty good.
I'm going to let that be the last word because I love that so much. Sarah, thank you for doing the show. Will you please come back and join me again sometime?
Oh, I'd love to.
Mary, you have to come back too. You know you do.
Of course. And we got to hug it out.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your conference weekend, everyone. And we'll see you next week here on A Woman's View.